Well, welcome back to part two of that classic rock show on WHRU Hundley Community Radio, the mighty 101.5 FM, where we will continue our chat with Pam Police, the producer and director of the film, The Voice That Rocked America, The Dick Biondi Story. So, Pam, by 1964, Biondi was in L.A., and he was the master of ceremonies of two landmark concerts. So tell us who those bands were and where the concerts were held.
Well, when Dick arrived at KRLA, the Beatles were finally breaking, and Bob Eubanks, who was one of the DJs at the KRLA station, mortgaged his house to have the first concert at the Hollywood Bowl, and Dick Biondi was there with all the DJs introducing the Beatles, and it was in August of 1964.
Was he at Bob Eubanks of the Dating Game?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? I went to, when I was in California visiting my son, they had the anniversary show of the Beatles playing there. And who's the, Dave, what's his name, Stewart from the Eurythmics?
Oh, Dave Stewart? Dave Stewart, yeah.
Yeah. So he put a band together and Bob Eubanks emceed that show. Of course,
No kidding.
I don't know if you guys ever been to the Hollywood Bowl, but you might as well have been, 5,000 feet away. But
yeah, huge.
But they played all Beatles songs, and it was, to the anniversary. Well, not only did the Beatles play at the Hollywood Bowl, but another very famous band that he emceed was at Long Beach in 65. What band was that?
That was the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And Dick introduced the Rolling Stones in concert, and he's got some really funny stories about the Rolling Stones. One of them is in the movie. Well, actually, now that I think about it, it's in the outtakes, so... You got to buy the DVD to get that one, guys.
Oh, you mean you get all these little outtakes and bloopers in the DVD?
Well, we might have a few bloopers, but a lot of stories.
Dick Biondi
is known for his stories, and we couldn't get them all in the movie. There's so many, so we're going to put them in the special features on the DVD.
That sounds very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if people go to the Des Plaines Theater, they'll be able to see all this, right?
Well, we're not doing the special features yet, but we're showing the full-length movie. It's a little bit over an hour, and, it's going to be... I'm so excited, I can't even tell you, because this is the first public screening of the movie.
Right.
And Ron Onesti, who owns the Des Plaines Theater, was just sweet enough guy. I mean, he's one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
This guy has been tremendous, and he's hosting it, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, so we... I mean, Mark and I already saw it, because we saw a sneak preview, and... It is excellent, everybody.
We do have a few changes since then, just little ones.
Okay.
So we keep tweaking it.
Did you add the comments I made? Did you put in my story?
No,
you
know? We did not. Oh, that's not.
I'm still on the cutting room floor. Oh gosh, darn it.
You're always on the cutting room floor, even at this station.
I know. Well, so after L.A., Dick Biondi came back to Chicago, right? So. And he championed all the Chicago area bands. Why don't you tell us a little about what bands they were and how he did it and et cetera.
Oh, yeah. When Dick got back to WCFL, the music had changed a lot in the time that he was gone. And it was, psychedelic. And it was just different. And, the British invasion changed the music so much. So Dick came back and he started championing all the local bands. And those bands were the band Chicago, the Ides of March, the New Colony Six, Jimmy Sons and the Shadows of Night, the Crying Shames, and the Buckinghams. Yep. So these guys, he would introduce them on the radio, in concert. He was just always there in their corner, and they just absolutely love this man. And they're all part of the movie. Every one of them is in the movie. Walt Perizzator from Chicago is in the movie. And we had the pleasure of going out to his home in the Las Vegas area and interviewing him. That was quite a story. He has an elevator in his home.
Oh, wow. I do, too, but they're called stairs.
Yeah, yeah. Me, too.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, these guys are just... They are so... They love Dick so much. They would just do anything for him. So
yeah.
I'm really honored to have all these people in the film. And I got to interview Frankie Valli... And the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson and Al Jardine. And I got to interview Frankie Avalon, Bobby Rydell, Paul Schaefer, you name it. I these guys just love Dick so much. They wanted to be part of his story. So,
I know it's amazing. So while we're talking about your interviews really quick, I mean, how did you land all these people? I mean, how do you contact a Brian Wilson or Walter Perezader or any, I mean, these are big time stars. How did you contact them?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'd never interviewed anybody famous before, and I wasn't even sure I had what it took to do it because I'm just an ordinary person over here. But you know what? When you start to have a passion for something, you know how it is. It consumes you. And you do whatever you have to do to make it happen. So I just started reaching out to a lot of different people, and I got contacts, and people introduced me to this person. The next thing I know, you know, I'm just meeting all these people. You would not believe how many people have contributed to this film to make this happen. There's no way I could have done this alone. So, you know, it's just one thing led to another. I found out who the manager was of the Beach Boys. I got to go to their concert, got to go backstage. They even let us come and do the sound check. And it was wonderful. It really was. So.
Well, I mean, that is so cool. So, you know, let's get back to the Chicago bands. As you mentioned, the Buckinghams, Crying Shames, New Colony 6, Shadows of Night, Ides of March, etc. Of all those bands, I want you to pick one of them, and we're going to play one of those songs. So which song and what band do you want?
There's so many good ones, but I guess my choice right now would be the Buckinghams, Don't You Care.
Okay, so let's play Don't You Care by the Buckinghams.
If you don't love me, why don't you tell me? Instead of running around with all the other guys in town, can't you see? You're hurting me. Don't you care? Don't you care? If you don't want me, why don't you tell me? Instead of telling lies and making me cry, can't you see? You're hurting me, don't you care? Don't you care? Whatever happened to all the good times we used to have? The times we cried and laughed? I wanna know, will you ever love me again? Or will I find out that this is the end? You said that you'd believe me, then why'd you ever leave me? I'm standing here all alone, without a girl of my own, can't you see? You're hurting me, don't you care?
Don't You Care by the Buckinghams with Dennis Stefano on the lead vocals.
Well, Pam, you have another story about Chicago and Dick Biondi. Tell us how he helped get Chicago, or at least grease the wheels so that they could be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, this happens to be a segment in the movie, and it shows Dick at the Arcata Theater in front of a crowd. And it was at the Mardi Gras concert. I was there. I was backstage interviewing all of the cornerstones of rock artists. Mm-hmm. And Dick was out on emceeing a little bit. And he talked to the crowd and he said, you know what? I want everybody to go home and send an email to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and tell them to get on a stick, because there's nobody from Chicago in there. Is you know, are the Ides of March in there? Are the Buckinghams in there? Is Chicago in there? And he went on and on about that. And everybody was just applauding and, you know, agreeing with him. Of course, it might, because the Midwest was not being represented in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Dick had been saying this for many years. So, you know, finally, In fact, he had an exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he called them up. He literally called them up and said, I want you to take me out of that exhibit because you guys don't know what you're doing. You know, he was upset. So Chicago's manager got wind of this, and he decided to send over this absolutely gorgeous recliner, upholstered recliner with their logo on the back. And when I interviewed Dick, you might see in a couple of scenes, you could see he's sitting in that chair. So anyway, but they just couldn't thank Dick enough, because soon after they did get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Walt Perezater's on the, holding his award, throwing kisses at Dick.
Well, I want to mention, you know, Jim and I saw an early preview of the film, and we loved it. And Pam, I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but you were in the audience, and after the film ended, you were verklempt. And I don't know if you know what the word verklempt means. It's a Yiddish word for overcome with emotion. And everyone was so happy for you. And again, the film that's going to be at the Des Plaines Theater is going to have a few changes. So I'm interested in seeing that.
Well, yeah, you got a standing ovation.
I did. I can't even tell you what that meant to me, because, you know, it's been 9 years since I started this project. And I, like I said in the beginning, I didn't even know if I could do it. I was like, what am I doing? I'm retired. What am I taking on here? I called Dick's secretary, Lorraine, who I knew from the early WLS days when I was a kid and I had my fan club. I called her up. I said, Lorraine, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to do a documentary about Dick Biondi. And she says, Pam, do you know what you're getting yourself into? Dick knows everybody in the entertainment business. I said, yeah, I know. But here I am, and we did it.
So
I'm so thrilled.
Were you intimidated at the onset of this project because of what you just said?
Yes, very intimidated. For the first 3 or 4 years, I was like, what am I doing? Can I really do this? I really didn't know, honestly.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because when I officially retired from the positions that I made my living on, Jim came to me and said, let's do a book. And here in my retirement, we did our book. We're doing a radio show. And I'll tell you that the creative juices after you retire to get into things that are your passion, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
It truly is. And you have the time to do it. That's a thing. You actually can focus on it. And it's so fulfilling. And honestly, it's changed my life, truly.
Well, we have to take a little break here, Pam. You are listening to the Classic Rock Show on WHRU Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, where we play the greatest music of all time.
Well, again, you did such a good job on this, so I'm assuming you're going to be doing many, many more documentaries on many more artists. Do you think he's going to continue doing this, or is this one and done?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see what the future holds. But right now, I am just basking in the joy of having this film done. It's not quite done. I mean, it is done, but I still need to finish paying for licensing and a little bit of polishing, like color correction and sound mixing, things like that, and get it ready for broadcast, because we want to get this either on PBS or another major station so it goes around the world, the country, the world. I mean, Dick's legacy needs to be known. And that's my goal, is to get it out there into the world. So far, so good. And that's why I'm holding these fundraisers, these screenings, because the film, you know, it's got to be ready for that broadcast. Otherwise, they won't run it till it's ready. So, but well, the film is done, and I'm just thrilled. So I'm just going to enjoy showing my film, meeting people. You know, these people have been waiting for this movie for a long time, and I think they're going to really, every time I show it, I feel so good. I'm just enjoying it so much. Meeting people, seeing the reaction, you know.
Well,
so I'm just going to do that for now. And I don't know what the future will bring, but I'm just going to let it happen.
Well, here's just a suggestion for your future. I think there's a great documentary on rock and roll photographers. I have one person
I had a
in mind.
That was coming up.
Oh, brother.
I mean, you could start with this when this one photographer was born in Oak Park, Illinois, and, you know, he had to do the rough streets of Oak Park and just made his way through the rock and roll channels. Oh, who would that person? Oh, that's me.
Yeah, with the little your little brownie on
my
the,
little brownie, brownie camera. Yeah, that's my first camera.
You
actually,
snuck on the floor of the, you know.
Yeah,
I can tell the story.
It does sound like a fascinating story, guys. Really.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. You know, I'll make up a lot of stuff, but it'll be a good one. Earlier, we were talking about some of the people that are in the film, and probably, I mean, they're all big stars, don't get me wrong, but probably the biggest star might be Brian Wilson. Can you just tell us a little bit about his relationship with Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys? And I believe there's a song that he played over and over again before they became famous. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, basically, well, I'll tell you how, when we actually got an interview with Al Jardine, and Brian was there, of course, because they were performing at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. So we got the interview with Al, and Brian was in the next room. And of course, we didn't, you know, we had hoped that we could get Brian on camera, but we asked Al a question, and he didn't quite know the answer. So he said, you know what, let me go ask Brian. Well, my friend and I, we were both working this interview, we looked at each other, and the next minute in walks Brian, sits down, I'm putting a microphone on his lapel, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my God, this is my, I couldn't believe it. Because Brian, to me, the Beach Boys, that was my music. I just loved them and still do. So anyway, Brian, all he really did was answer our question, and that was about the song that you're about to play, and how when they first recorded it, they just suggested, let's go over to WLS, let's go over to KRLA and see if Dick Biondi will play it. And he did. And the phones were ringing and people were loving that song. So it was their very first ballad. They had been playing, you know, all those other surf songs before that. So this was their first ballad, and it really, they just really appreciated what Dick did for them. And that's in the movie. This is in the movie, so.
Well, let's play Surfer Girl by the Beach Boys.
Surfer Girl by the Beach Boys. And Pam, let's talk about the Dick Biondi toy drive. I know that he was known for that, and you know something about that. Why don't you fill us in?
Sure. Well, Dick was known for helping people. He would do anything he could to help somebody, regardless of whether it was a fan or a musician or a budding DJ, whatever. But Dick had a soft spot in his heart for kids, and he always held a toy drive every year to raise money for kids, you know, that were, you know, didn't have much. And these were marathon toy drives. They would go for 36 hours. He was on the air for 36 hours.
Oh, my.
Recording live. And he hardly slept. I mean, it was crazy. And it went all night long. People were showing up. I remember going to the one at Yorktown Shopping Center because I actually lived in Lombard, not far from there. I showed up one day with my camera. And this was when I was first learning about how to shoot videos. And I decided I'm going to go shoot Dick's toy drive. And luckily I did because it ended up in the movie. And but people were coming in, you know, in the middle of the night with pizzas and all kinds of stuff for Dick. And, you know, all the guys wanted to go help him at these things. Jimmy Sons would show up and sing, and Ronnie Rice and Carl Gemerisi and Jim Peterick. They all showed up at these things. They loved Dick, and they were always trying to be there for him because he was always there for them. So,
well, all the guys you just mentioned are going to be special guests at the preview of the Dick Biondi documentary, which is Sunday, May 21st at the Splains Theater. Tickets available at oshows.com. So I guess there's one very special guest that you haven't mentioned taking photos at that event.
Well, there's also another guest that I didn't mention, and that's Jim J.C. Hook-Pilster from The Crying Flames, who's going to be my special guest. So it's Carl Gemerisi of the Buckinghams, Ronnie Rice, and Ray Graffia Jr. from the New Colony Six, and Jim Pilster.
And you're going to do a Q&A afterwards or before?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, and we also have the Stingrays playing early, you know, 50s music, warming up the crowd for about a half an hour. So the doors open at 1 o'clock. So it's going to be a blast. I'm so excited.
So but you didn't mention the photographer who's going to be there.
Oh, my
the most
God.
Important guest.
You're going to warm up the crowd with your lousy sense of humor.
Yeah, I'll take flash pictures of everyone.
I am so honored, Jim, that you offered to come and shoot those pictures for me.
Oh, stop it! I don't like the publicity.
I mean it.
No, thank you.
Awesome.
You're so modest, man.
Well, you know, this was a really quick hour. There are some things we could talk about really quick. I'm going to just mention a few things. The Dick Biondi has a street named after him. It's called Dick Biondi Way. On May 1st, 2010, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn made a Dick Biondi Day, and he made a street named after him, which is pretty cool. But I'm going to ask you a couple questions here before we sign off and see how good you are with Dick Biondi Jeopardy. You ready?
Oh, boy.
How many times has he been fired?
25.
Hey, Mark, that matches yours.
Almost. Almost. See, you always got to get back up on the horse.
I'm proud of it.
And where was he born and raised?
He was born in a little town in upper state New York called Endicott. And he lived there, grew up there, started in radio there, and left in 1950 and came to Chicago. And Chicago adopted him. And we've loved him ever since.
Well, Pam, I want to get this in, too. Let's talk about his awards. He is an inductee of the Radio Hall of Fame, the Broadcast Hall of Fame in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, the Southern Tier Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and the Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and also our own Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Correct? Well, those are a lot of halls of fame.
That's true.
Every one of them.
And he also has a street named after him.
Yeah,
what's the name of the street, Pam?
Biondi Way.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done an awful lot. He came back to Chicago and had another show, right, at WJMK 104.3 FM.
The oldie station.
So the oldie station, he was there from 84 to 05. He's been back and forth in Chicago so many times.
He loves Chicago. I mean, in the movie, Dick talks about the time that he was away from Chicago down to Myrtle Beach for 10 years at this little station. And Bob Sherratt went down and interviewed him. And he says how those first few years at WLS were very special. There was just no better time for him. And he always loved Chicago and the fans. And he still does. And we love him right back.
Does he still live in the Chicago area, or is he out west?
He does.
Oh, he does. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he and his wife, Mary Beth, live in the Chicago area.
All right. Well, that's cool. Let's see if I have any other trivia questions. Do you have any, Mark?
Well, he also worked at, did we mention he also worked at WBBM FM 96.3?
I don't know. No,
we haven't. I don't think we mentioned it.
No, you didn't. That's what brought him back to Chicago, actually.
Yeah.
After the Bob Surratt show, that was a WBBM television show that called Where Are They Now? And then the radio station decided that he would be great for the morning show, which actually didn't work out that well for him.
Well,
so
but
he was on for a year, and then he went to the oldie station.
Right, and actually, that was his longest stint. I mean, he was there from 84 to 2000. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, we have definitely run out of time. Everybody, Pam, we can't thank you enough for everything you've done, not only for the radio show, but for Dick Biondi, because this is one man that really deserves a documentary, and thank you so much for doing it. And I can't wait for everyone to go to the Desplaines Theater on May 21st to see this show.
And listeners, don't forget, our program, That Classic Rock Show, is on the air every Monday at 6:30 p.m. and Fridays at 11 a.m. on 101.5 FM on your radio dial, or you can go to WHRU Huntley Community Radio website and listen to our archive shows anytime, anywhere in your easy chair.
Well, Pam, did you have a good time?
I had a blast, you guys, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here.
It was our pleasure, Pam.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone.